Let's pray together. God, you reign in our lives today. You are the creator, the sustainer, the giver of life. And we don't just give you thanks. We don't just whisper words with our mouths, but we give you praise. We worship you because, God, you are worthy. Because, God, you are faithful in all that you do. And God, I thank you that as we have come into this place today to worship you, not only do we have the freedom to do so, but we do so with hearts that are open and abandoned towards you. Open to hear what you want to speak to us. Open to be encouraged, to be challenged. Even, Lord, open enough to weep and to cry, to shout for joy, to love others and to let them know that they are loved. And so, God, we do all this with hearts that are open to hear your word spoken to us today. But we also do it with our minds focused on you and your truth today. Help us in that. And Lord, for those that are hurting today, for whatever reason, whether it's physically, emotionally, or spiritually, God, will you hold us in your righteous right hand? The hand that only we can trust in. The only hand that we can trust in. Because God, each of us comes here to this place with a burden, with a heartache, a pain. And God, you can bring healing. And we trust you for that. And God, as we worship you today, may you be glorified. May you be lifted up to the right place that you deserve. The place that only you can occupy to be worshiped. And God, we thank you for all these things. We give you praise and glory. And we pray this in Jesus' name. And everyone says, amen. Amen. Good morning, everybody. Good morning. Good to see you all here today. Got a number of things that we just want to communicate with you. And the time of worship today just really spoke to my heart. I hope it did to yours as well. It happens that way all the time, doesn't it? Where God just speaks in ways that you might not be expecting. And today I wasn't expecting to be spoken to during that, but I don't know why I'm surprised, because God speaks no matter what. And every time we worship together, it's always good. We have a connection card that is available to you through a QR code. If you would like to utilize that, that would be greatly appreciated. And just encourage you to do that. Couple other things that we just want to let you know about. First of all, this is a big week for us as far as activities go here at the church. This is a family night on Wednesday night. And so families, you are invited to join your children for Hope Kids. And we would love it if you would join us for that. Parents, you should have received an email from Andrea Brown, kind of giving you all the information that you need to know about that. But we want you to join us at 6 o'clock for not only just for the beginning of the fun, but we're also going to be having pizza together. And this includes teenagers as well. So teens show up here around 6 to 6:30 and eat pizza and join together. And then parents, we're going to be for Hope Kids, we're going to be having a couple of other activities that we're going to be doing. It includes crafts, an Easter egg hunt, and then a great resurrection egg lesson. And so that's going to be a fun night, but it's also going to be a learning night as well, and just all of us together as families for our Hope Kids. Also within that is that we are collecting toothbrushes to take to Guatemala this summer. And so kids, if you bring in some, and please hear me when I say this, new unused toothbrushes, okay? We don't want to take used toothbrushes to another country for other kids to use. So new unused toothbrushes. And depending on how many we get depends on how amazing the dessert that we will have at the end of the night will be. Parents, you have that information in your email, so you can talk about it with your kids about that, and then you can decide how many toothbrushes you want to bring. If you have not RSVP'd to Andrea Brown, do so as soon as possible, because we want to know how many of you are going to be there so that we can feed you the appropriate amount of pizza. Okay, so please take care of that. We have family night going on, and we want teenagers to know that teens, you're welcome to be here at 6 o'clock as well and eat pizza with us. So that's our grab and go meal for that night. Other things that you need to know about is that, let's go to the next slide. Yes, we are going to be working on our garden for this next year, for the summertime, and we just would like to know if you want to be a part of that and help out at any point during the summertime. We're trying to collect an army of people to work our garden this year, and we would love it if you would do that. Let me know as soon as you know that you're going to be available at any point in time during the summertime, because we're going to be organizing a little bit differently this year, and that's exciting. In April, we have an opportunity for people to go to camp. This is for adults. So there's a women's retreat coming up, and there's a men's retreat that is coming up. If you're interested, I have cards that are available as you exit the building. They're on the welcome bookshelf right there. There's not an unlimited amount. So if you want to take a picture of it so that we save it for somebody else, that would be awesome. But if you need a hard copy, take it with you. All the information is on the card, and it tells you where to register and all of that. And if you have any questions about it, feel free to let me know. If you need any help financially, let me know. We are also having a baptism service on Easter Sunday. That is in 2 weeks. And I would love it if we would have some folks to baptize. We do have one person that is going to be baptized, and we're excited about that. But if you have not been baptized and you call Jesus your Lord and Savior and you haven't been baptized, maybe this is the time. Maybe now is the time for you to step into those waters of baptism, and I would love to talk to you about that. You got 2 weeks, okay, this week and next week to make that decision. So if you're just thinking, I might want to get baptized, come and talk to me. Or I don't know if I should be baptized, come and talk to me. If you have questions about, is the water cold? Absolutely not. We're going to warm it up for you so well. Maybe. And I would love to talk to you about that as well. Just so you know, about, I don't know, 7, 8 years ago, maybe, the heater didn't work. And it was chilly water. It wasn't fun. I was in it too. But those are the things that you need to know about. And I'm really excited for this time of year, aren't you? God is so good. Easter is right around the corner. And I would invite you to be praying this week for a person that you can invite on Easter Sunday. If not on Easter Sunday, maybe the Sunday after. Because we need to be willing to invite others to come and see Jesus. If anything, we need to be willing to tell our story so that others know the glory of Jesus. So let's be praying about that. Let's be praying. Let's be praying that God will put on our heart somebody that we can invite. If we look closely enough at Scripture, it's actually in broad daylight in Scripture. The way that the movement progressed was often come and see. Come and see. And it was an invitation. It was the willingness of someone to say, hey, have you met Jesus yet? Come and see what it's all about. With that, let's go ahead and dismiss our kids for Children's Church. So kids, you're to meet your leaders in the back and go over for your time of Children's Church. Over the the last couple of weeks, we've been utilizing large passages of Scripture, and I realize that there's a couple of thoughts behind that. It's like, wow, Pastor Chopper, you're just throwing us like 50 some verses of Scripture, and you don't have to preach quite as long. And I'm like, no, there's still a lot to talk about. But I recognize that there's a lot that is within these passages of Scripture that really speak to us. And I want you to get a big picture of what God is communicating, what Jesus is communicating, what the good news of the gospel is when we see it surrounded by a big passage of Scripture. And today's no different. Luke chapter 18. You can open up your Bibles to that passage. It's a passage of Scripture that is phenomenal, but it is different than the last couple of passages that we've looked at in the last couple of weeks. Last couple of weeks, we've really been diving into some of those miracles that Jesus has done, not so many teachings. And most of it has been interactions with people that Jesus is communicating with and talking to and all that. But today we're going to dive into a couple of parables and some miracles and just a really rich passage of Scripture. And we're going to jump in with verses 1-8 to start us out. Then Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up. That's the Cliff Notes version right there. He said, in a certain town, there was a judge who neither feared God nor cared what people thought. And there was a widow in that town who kept coming to him with the plea, grant me justice against my adversary. For some time he refused, but finally he said to himself, even though I don't fear God or care what people think, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will see that she gets justice so that she won't eventually come and attack me. That strikes me as funny. I imagine a tiny little woman coming and attacking somebody. That just, maybe she has a cane. I don't know. Verse 6, and the Lord said, listen to what the unjust judge says. And will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off? I tell you, he will see that they get justice and quickly. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? We can gather a couple of important aspects of God and our response to him in this passage. First of all, God hears the cry of his children. No matter how we go to him, he hears. He doesn't ignore whatever the answer may be. He hears our prayers. He hears our cries. He hears you, and he hears the things that you are communicating to him. The thought is that if there's something going on, are you going to him consistently enough? Another important aspect of our relationship with Jesus involves persistence. This is a not going to give up, not going to hold back, not going to stop type of going to God with what's on your heart and on your mind. It is a not going to give up until God does something. In the face of obstacles, in the face of difficulty, in the face of being wronged, in the face of the unknown, persistently pursuing Jesus. Sometimes we have to have the prayer habit of a marathon runner. Now, I recognize that not every one of us is a marathon runner. In fact, those are scary people. Okay? They are in punishment all the time. A marathon is a long haul. 26 miles. That's a long ways. It folks, that's not a sprint. That's not 100 yards. It's not 50. It's something that takes time. And to be a marathoner, runner, I don't know if you can just call them a marathoner. That probably not. It sounds funny. Sounds funny. To be a marathon runner, you have to run a marathon to be ready for the marathon. You don't just train with a 100-yard sprint here and there and then run it slower and slower to build up for your marathon. You're running miles and miles and miles to be ready for the marathon. You actually run a full marathon multiple times before you get to the race. That's just crazy. But isn't it the thought that we have to be persistent enough in our prayer time? And Jesus is saying, is there going to be people on earth that will have this persistence in their prayers? It is a go to God consistently, persistently in the face of all these things. And it is a day in, day out type of thing. And the good news is that Jesus wants to see that type of faith. And he's wondering if you and I have it. Will we have that type of faith? Let's continue on. Jump over to Luke chapter 18, verses 9 through 14. To some who were confident of their own righteousness and looked down on everyone else, Jesus told this parable. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood by himself and prayed, God, I thank you that I am not like other people, robbers, evildoers, adulterers, or even this tax collector. And I can imagine that he looks down the way and he sees that person, and maybe in his mind he points. I fast twice a week, and I give a tenth of all I get. But the tax collector stood at a distance. He would not even look up to heaven, but beat his breast and said, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. Jesus says, I tell you, this man, rather than the other, went home justified before God. For all those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. This parable hits me every time I read it, every time I hear about it, anytime that I'm thinking about it, it just hits. If I were to sum it up in this sort of way, it would say the difference between being humble and being humbled is what this passage is communicating. The truth of the matter is that Jesus is communicating something in this passage that I think we sometimes forget, is that you and I have blind spots. We have spots in our lives. We have things going on in our lives that we just don't see, or we don't want to see, things that are not pleasing to God, or even things that we are unwilling to surrender to God because we think, extra emphasis on, we think that we have those things under control. The tax collector in this story, he got it. He understood. He sees who he is. He has seen his shortcomings. He has seen his failures, and he knows himself. And the humility is on his sleeves and seen probably all over his face, as there may be tears streaming down his face, and he realizes what is going on. Blind spots are those parts in our lives that we just don't want to admit. And each of us has them. Each of us has things in our lives that are blind spots that we don't want to surrender. We don't want to give up. We don't want to talk about. We don't even want to hint about, because if someone else finds out those things, maybe the embarrassment is just too much. And why is this important? Because lying to ourselves does us no good in the grand scheme of things. Honesty with ourselves is the first step in making changes. And as we can see that this tax collector, who's the worst of the worst, who is disliked more than any other person in ancient Judaism and Judea and Jerusalem and wherever they're at this point in time. They were the most disliked people of all. And he's saying, I am a sinner. And he's confessing his desire to have mercy from God on him. So what are some areas in our own lives, individually, in your life and in my life and in just collectively in our lives, maybe personally instead of collectively, that might be a little awkward, right? But what are some areas that we need to actually say, God, will you work on this in me? I need your mercy. I need you to work on this in my life, so that our level of humility can increase, so that our thoughts would be on what he wants our thoughts to be on, so that when we can, so that our lives can get rid of unhealthy patterns or sinful behavior. The other dichotomy in all this is that the Pharisee, the teacher, the person who was supposed to have things kind of figured out is the one that is only talking about what he does with his hands and his feet. The tax collector is talking about what's really going on in his heart. And putting it plainly, the good news of Jesus is this, is that being justified with God is a matter of the heart. That is repentance. Being justified with God is not a matter of the hands or the feet, the things that we do or the things that we do for righteousness. That's not what justifies us. That's not what takes our sin away. That's not what makes us righteous, what our hands and our feet, but it matters what our heart does. And I think that's one of the reasons why this parable is so powerful, because of the juxtaposition between a Pharisee who should have known better and a tax collector who most people wouldn't even think about repenting. And they're on two opposite sides of the spectrum. And I wonder where we find ourselves at. Where do I find myself at in this spectrum? Where do you find yourself at in this spectrum? Let's skip down to verse 18. Now Jesus is approached by a teacher, and he says to him, good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Why do you call me good? Jesus answered. No one is good except God alone. You know the commandments. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not murder. You shall not steal. You shall not give false testimony. Honor your father and mother. Verse 21, all these I have kept since I was a boy, he said. That's pretty impressive, isn't it? All these I kept since I was a boy. Verse 22, Jesus heard this. He said to him, you still lack one thing. Sell everything you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come follow me. When he heard this, he became very sad because he was very wealthy. Jesus looked at him and said, how hard it is for the rich to enter the kingdom of God. That is a statement that could drive us crazy, couldn't it? At least I think in our culture, our society, it probably should drive us a little crazy, just because of the nature of where we live and where the society that we're a part of, and the fact that the United States is one of the wealthiest countries on the face of the earth, and the majority of the world lives on $2 a day. This is a big statement. Verse 25, indeed, it is easier for the camel to go through the eye of a needle than for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of God. Those who heard this asked, who can be saved? Jesus replied, what is impossible with man is possible with God. Peter said to him, we have left all we had to follow you. Truly, I tell you, Jesus said to them, no one who has left home or wife or brothers or sisters or parents or children for the sake of the kingdom of God will fail to receive many times as much in this age and in the age to come, eternal life. The good news is that with God, all things are possible, and that salvation is possible with God. This interaction with Jesus does hit us hard because the man that comes to Jesus seems to have it all together. He seems that he understands what's going on. And in the eyes of the people around him, they would have seen that this was a righteous and devout man. And they would have also said, this guy is wealthy. So therefore, because he is wealthy, he's received the blessings of God, because many times wealth was and blessings were equated together. And so he's got all the answers and all the questions are coming out just right. He knows the commandment. Yet when it comes right down to it, when Jesus pushes him just a little bit further, just a little bit to the, go just take that last step, he goes away sad. Because there was something that he was holding on to that he wasn't ready to let go of. Could we say that he was distracted? I don't think that's too simplified in this context. He let a little distraction dictate what matters most. He let the distraction of wealth to dictate his step, his next step, what he valued and what he desires, and all of that got in the way of what he could do by getting rid of it and following Jesus. He already has the right question of how do I get there? How do I get to you in the future? When I die, how can I have eternal life? And when Jesus pushes him just a little bit further, he's unwilling to take that last step. It's like Indiana. No, this just popped in my head, but it's good. Indiana Jones in the Last Crusade. In order for Indiana Jones to get across this chasm, he has to have faith enough to take a step. And CGI was awesome back then, and he takes this step and there's nothing there, but he takes it and he lands on something and he's like, whoa, he couldn't see it, but he saw it once he took the step. And now you know that I'm a big movie nerd, right? But sometimes we have to take that step that we're not so sure about to trust Jesus to move on to what he wants for us. Sometimes we have to let go of the distractions of life to see where he's taking us so that we can go where he desires. And his desire is for us to not be distracted so that we can follow him completely. The good news is with Jesus, all things are possible. But on the flip side, we are easily distracted. And this is for all of us. We don't lie to ourselves that we're not easily distracted. We are. But we've got to get beyond it so that we can follow him for all he's worth. Last section. Verse 35 to 43, and I realize we're looking at a big picture, a big chunk of scripture here, and we can't unpack it all the way that I want to, but to see the fullness of what Jesus is doing is the picture here that I want to just communicate, because all of this is so important for us to get. Verses 35 through 43. Then Jesus approached Jericho. A blind man was sitting by the roadside begging. When he heard the crowd going by, he asked what was happening. They told him, Jesus of Nazareth is passing by. He called out, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. Notice the difference. Who he asks says, Jesus of Nazareth is passing by, but he calls out, Jesus, son of David. Huge difference. Those who led the way rebuked him and told him to be quiet, but he shouted all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." And Jesus stopped and ordered the man to be brought to him. When he came near, Jesus asked him, what do you want me to do for you? Lord, I want to see, he replied. Jesus said, receive your sight. Your faith has healed you. Immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus, praising God. When all the people saw it, they also praised God. Through Jesus, the blind received their sight. Such an amazing, powerful story. Takes us right back to Isaiah that I talked about last week, how the blind will receive their sight, and Jesus fulfilling the messianic calls of Old Testament passages. And this blind man demonstrate his faith and the audacity to call out to Jesus. He's blind, but he sees something that others aren't seeing. He sees Jesus, the Son of David, the Messiah. And not just any old name or reference to King David, but the messianic name. That is the name that Jesus is foretold about, that David will have one who will be the Messiah in his family lineage, the one who will sit on the throne of David for all eternity. This is who he's referencing. He's not just saying, oh yeah, you could be the son of David. No, he has that understanding that this is the Son of David, the long-awaited Messiah. And as we look at this passage, it is extreme faith that this man has, that this one can heal him. The blind man sees what the rich man does not. Take that in for just a second. The blind man sees what the rich man does not. When the rich man comes to Jesus, he says, teacher. When the blind man comes to Jesus, he says, Jesus, Son of David. There's a faith issue. There's a faith issue here. The blind man sees with spiritual eyes and knows the wholeness and the hope that only comes from Jesus, where the rich man only sees a teacher. The blind man, his eyes are fixed on him who reigns for eternity. The blind man has eyes that are fixed on Jesus, King eternal. Hebrews 12:1 reminds us, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run the perseverance of the race that marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. But let us fix our eyes on Jesus. Another version would say the author and perfecter of our faith. That is who we have our eyes on, and the blind man saw it. The blind man saw it before he was healed. The good news of Jesus is that we don't have to be blind to have faith. We can pursue him persistently in humility and know that all things are possible with God when we trust him. Each one of these stories is about faith or the lack of faith. Let's not be like the rich young man, but let's be like the blind man that sees with eyes that don't need to see physically, but see spiritually. Let's be persistent in our faith and in our prayers, and let's be willing to go to him until he answers. It's not a one and done type of thing. Let's be persistent. Let's have faith. Let's trust and experience the good news that God wants to communicate to us. Let's pray. Father, passages such as this remind us so much that not only did you work in amazing ways and ways that we don't sometimes fully grasp, we also know, Father, that you are fully capable of bringing us healing, and you're capable of working in our lives to show us your love for us. God, I pray that we would have the courage that we need to persistently pursue you. I pray that we would have the willingness to trust even when we can't see. I pray that we would have the willingness of the tax collector to just know, God, that we need your mercy, because it's your mercy that brings grace. God, help us. Help us to be willing to give up our blind spots so that you can work in us. God, you are so good. And Father, I pray that if we have questions, if we have concerns, that we would ask them and allow you to speak to us. Give us someone in our life that we can bounce ideas or thoughts off of so that you can work through us. And God, I pray that if someone today is just in need of a conversation, Lord, that they would have it today about spiritual matters, about life in general. But Lord, will they make the step with a trusted friend to know, God, that you are working in their lives? God, give us the wisdom that we need and draw us to you. We pray these things in your son's name, the name of Jesus. Amen. Thanks so much for joining us in worship today. I know that it is St. Patrick's Day, so please don't pinch someone too hard today. Make sure you enjoy something green, maybe a salad. I don't know. That's horrible. I know. That's horrible. I just probably should get off the stage now before I say something even more ridiculous than that. Anyways, I'm so glad that you're here today. It's a great day to worship with you, and I'm grateful for what God is going to do this week in our lives. Let's stand and let's close our time together with worship.